This is the ACAP meeting on December 7th, 2015.
Pearl Harbor Day.
Sure is.
We currently do not have a quorum, although we expect one shortly. We're starting with the status reports. Okay, under status reports, the first one is an update on the participation plan. We were going to have request your endorsement of the participation plan this month, but GDOT wanted an additional meeting to discuss the proposed process for amending our long-range plan with the other local governments, whoever else was interested. So tomorrow, we're having a meeting with members of the Technical Coordinating Committee, any of them who are interested, to review particularly the process for amending our long-range plan as proposed in the participation plan. So, because things might change as a result of that meeting, although it seems like that they haven't sent us any more comments. We're not asking for action right now, since things could possibly change after tomorrow. But this will be back for action in February. So the participation plan, we've talked about this since August. As you know, that document outlines the processes by which the MPO staff and the MPO committees handle participation when they're developing all their required documents, like the long-range plan and the transportation improvement program, that kind of thing. How we require the participation when we do either developing that or processing changes to those documents. So there were, I think back in October, I went over how our new participation plan was different from the adopted one.
Because the extra money from DOT.
I think that was the Unified Planning Work Program.
No.
So mainly what was different was we changed the document arrangement a little bit to make it shorter and more to the point, but we added some specific measurable units for how we're going to assess our participation in the future. Things like we're going to track the number of people that come to our meetings, number of comments we receive. I mean, we do already log the number of comments, but we're going to review these things every 2 years and report on how our participation compares, you know, for the most recent 2 year period, and then every 2 years we'll compare to see if it's getting better. So those are the kind of things that are new in this plan. And we've changed that long-range plan amendment process a little bit to allow for a faster amendment as long as certain criteria are met. Like if the DOT wants us to add a project into the long-range plan and it's, say, they're providing state money and it's not going to affect the funding of projects that are already in the plan, then we can do that amendment in one step, like one meeting cycle. Currently, our adopted participation plan requires us to do a two-meeting step where we bring it before you and say, this is the request we have, and we want authorization to collect more information and see how this impacts the plan. And then we come back in the second meeting cycle, and then it's finalized. So that's how we handle all the requested changes currently. They all go through a two-step process. But the new process would allow certain projects, if they meet the criteria, to have a faster amendment process. Those are the main changes. We did do a few other minor changes, like revise the locations where we're going to put the hard copies of our documents. We tried to achieve a better geographic balance for where we leave those for the public to access. We already were doing them at all the public libraries, all the university libraries, certain government buildings. As a result of that the current list of public review agencies had a heavy concentration downtown. I mean, there are public libraries out in the other regions, but certain communities that didn't have a public library nearby or a university library nearby, they weren't that conveniently located to these hard copy documents. So
are they in here?
Yeah, I think CAT is on our list of public review agencies in our own building. So the new proposed list would be still all the public libraries. There'd be community centers in certain neighborhoods like West Savannah over on like West Bay. There's a community center over there on Richard Street, I think. Since that neighborhood's not that convenient to a public library. And so we've reduced the number of downtown locations. Like, we're not going to leave it at the SCAD library, but we're still going to leave it in our building.
And it's just one copy, or copies for people to take with them?
It's just one copy for people to reference, to come into the building, look at. If they want a copy to take with them, they can come to us and request it and pay a certain, cost per page. That's our standard document reproduction policy. But so that's one minor change that we made in response to some suggestions. And then we incorporated, so that's about it. Since October, we did receive some additional comments, follow-up from Georgia Department of Transportation. It's mostly very minute items. Things like, we added some describe participation processes for some of the less project related documents. Like formerly, our adopted participation plan outlines the participation process when we develop the long range plan and the TIP and the participation plan. We also have these other required documents like, you remember, the Unified Planning Work Program, the congestion management process. So now we have a little paragraph saying what kind of process we follow for those documents. Those people are not that much interested in those documents, because they're not about transportation projects, well, so much. But we now, anyway, provide a description of how we handle the participation and when we do those documents. So that's about what's changed since your meeting in October. Are there any questions about the participation plan? You'll have it on your action items in February. Okay. Well, we now have a quorum. So I guess first we should agree on who should run the meeting in the absence of James Aberson. Anybody volunteer or want to nominate somebody?
I volunteer you, Jane.
Yeah. Is she doing it anyway? She going? Let's keep going.
Okay. I'm willing to do that. Anybody would rather do it themselves? Speak up. All right. So the first action item is the approval of your minutes from October. Does anyone want those read?
Yes, ma'am. Read them if you can.
Okay. So There was approval of the agenda. That was moved and seconded to accept as presented. ACAP passed that motion. Action items. There was approval of the August 24th meeting minutes. Those were passed as presented. And then there was the 2040 long-range plan amendments for two bridge replacement projects in Port Wentworth. Ms. Jane Love of Core MPO described the proposed amendment to the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, that's what we call the long-range plan, which would shift some phases of the Houlihan Bridge project from cost band 3 to cost band 1, and the addition of the Middle River Bridge phases into cost band 1 and 3. So those are two bridges, but they're basically on the same road right after each other. Her report concluded that there would be no negative impact on the financial balance of the Metropolitan Transportation Plan because the projects are bringing their own funding into the plan. Staff recommended ACAT endorsement of the amendments. A motion was made and seconded to endorse the amendments. The motion to endorse the 2040 MTP amendments for two bridge replacement projects in Port Wentworth carried with none opposed. The next item was amendments to the fiscal year 2015-2018 TIP. Ms. Love reviewed the proposed amendments to the fiscal year 2015-2018 Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP. These amendments would program the preliminary engineering and right-of-way phases for the two bridge projects in Port Wentworth. The financial balance would be maintained because the state said funding is provided with these projects to offset the cost. Staff recommended ACAT endorsement of the amendments. A motion was made and seconded to endorse the amendments to the fiscal year 2015-2018 Transportation Improvement Program. The motion to endorse the amendments to the TIP carried with none opposed. Next was the amendment to the fiscal year 2016 Unified Planning Work Program. Ms. Love reviewed the proposed amendment. This amendment would carry over approximately $53,000 from the prior year so that the funds could be budgeted and accessed for activity in staff's current work program. Staff recommended endorsement. A motion was made and seconded to endorse the amendment to the fiscal year 2016 Unified Planning Work Program. The motion to endorse the work program carried with none opposed. Then there were status reports. Update on the Metropolitan Transportation Plan modifications for expanded area. Ms. Love reviewed the progress on the plan modification, the purpose of which is to address the needs with then the new portions of the recently expanded planning area. Some projects in Richmond Hill will be included in either the cost feasible band or in the unfunded vision plan, depending upon the results of the revenue analysis. Effingham County has no projects identified for the small residential portions of the county that are now in the core MPO planning area. This modification will be completed in February after a public comment period in January. And then there was a participation plan update. Ms. Love reviewed the details of the participation plan update. A public review period is currently in progress on the draft. The changes in this update primarily involve those necessary to reflect the new planning area and revision of the MPO's metrics to be used in assessing the effectiveness for participation. The draft also proposed some changes in the amendment process for the Metropolitan Transportation Program Plan and the Transportation Improvement Program. The comment period ends December 9th. And then there was the Core MPO Title VI update. Ms. Love explained that the Core MPO Title VI program is also currently in a public comment period. This subject is related to Section 6 of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. The Core MPO program includes anti-discrimination policy statements as well as procedures for handling any Title VI complaints. She read the Title VI policy statement and summarized the proposed strategies to address environmental justice and Title VI populations and planning efforts. She also read the proposed complaint procedures. ACAP members suggested removal of the word handicap in the policy statement. Members also advised staff to check whether the policy statement includes all of the protected populations, given the recent actions of the Supreme Court on sexual orientation. And then there were agency reports. CAT/Telluride. Ms. Kim Anderson explained the fare structure changes that went into effect that day. Paratransit fare was increased to $2 from $1.80. This was partly because providing and waiting for change was a nuisance to drivers and riders alike. Some other transit fares also were modified. Some were reduced. Mr. Bob McGarry stated that he believes some Telluride drivers are unaware of the fare change. Then there was other business, but there was no other business. Public participation opportunities, there were no comments. Announcements, it was announced that the next CORE NPO ACAP meeting, December 7th, 2015. No, wait. Let's see. Okay. And also, Ms. Kelsey Ustrid, did I say that right?
Ustrid
mm-hmm. announced that the Life Incorporated fundraiser will be October 27th at the American Legion in Thunderbolt. From 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., the $25 ticket includes dinner. There will also be a silent auction. Mr. McGarry announced that Life will have a spirit night on November 9th at IHOP.
See you on the flats.
Yeah.
Perhaps that was the problem. There wasn't a whole lot of people there.
Yeah, I went to IHOP.
Oh,
there were like five people there.
You didn't say IHOP?
No.
It's right next door to IHOP.
Oh.
Tijuana Flats.
All right, maybe that's...
You were just thinking pancakes.
Maybe someone said it's next door to IHOP, because I don't know why I would have put down IHOP. All right. Other non-agenda information for reference. Items had been attached to the agenda for information only. Adjournment. There being no other business to come before the committee, the October 26, 2015 committee meeting adjourned. So those are the minutes. I guess I should correct what you actually said about the announcement.
I'll make a motion we approve the minutes with the one correction. Second, do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor? Oh, wait a minute, Jane's supposed to be doing this.
Okay. All in favor of adopting the minutes with the correction stated by Mr. McGarry?
Aye.
Any opposed?
And just before we go into public, can we go around the room and see who is here? I think about seven of us. I think I pretty much know, but I'll listen anyway. I'll see who's here.
Okay, we'll start to my right.
Marlena Williams, Chatham Area Transit.
Tom Lamar. Sorry, sis.
And then Tyrone.
Okay, I'm next. Okay, Tyrone Palmer, National Federation of the Blind of Chatham County.
Pat Hegarty, Independent.
Kelsey Ustrid, Scotty Representative, Life Staff Member.
Bob McGarry, Life. I thought there was somebody in between Tom and Tyrone.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Tom's assistant, what's your name?
Michael.
Oh, Michael. I thought it was somebody who was here. Okay.
Relative.
I heard another voice, just like you, Tyrone.
Write this down. Who's here? Okay. So next we have.
Do you want to go ahead and read the whole agenda for those that can't?
Sure. Today's agenda has the action items are approval of the minutes, which we just did, endorsement of the 2016 ACAP meeting schedule, fiscal year 2015-2018 TIP amendments, endorsement of the NPO board authorization to process a long-range plan amendment for I-16 widening. And then status reports, update on the participation plan, which we did before we had a quorum. Update on the Metropolitan Transportation Plan modification for expanded area. Title VI program documents update. And then we have the agency reports for Telluride and CAT, followed by other business, public participation opportunities, and announcements. And then there's other non-agenda information for reference, but there's not any attached. And then there will be adjournment. So right now, We're on action item, endorsement of the 2016 ACAP meeting schedule. Let's see. This is the draft. It was attached to the agenda that was sent out. The ACAP column is highlighted in yellow on this draft. On the final draft, you know, we'll just have one version, so we won't have anybody's meeting column highlighted, but just for today's action, I highlighted this column because that's what you're really voting on. So the proposed schedule would have ACAP meeting, basically the same kind of thing where usually the fourth Monday, and exceptions are noted, sometimes it might be the third Monday, and in December it would be the second Monday due to the holidays. But so it goes February 22nd, April 25th, June 20th, that's the third Monday, mainly because your meetings are really the Monday after the third Wednesday. No, the Monday, sorry, the Monday before the fourth Wednesday. So sometimes when, depending on what day the month starts on, your Monday might be the third Monday instead of the fourth Monday. So August 22nd, October 24th, and December 12th. Those are all Mondays. And you're only meeting every other month, just like you do now, February, April, June, August, October, December. Any questions or concerns about that schedule?
What we do today? First Monday.
We were in December. We're always looking at exactly how to rearrange it to get it off of the holiday week, and so in some years we have pushed it back a couple weeks. In some years we've pushed it back more. So I think this year we were kind of like, this is kind of early. I mean, we had to get the package ready before Thanksgiving, and so we decided we would try it a week later next year. Is that a problem for anybody? Well, I'll entertain a motion to accept the 2016 ACAT schedule as proposed.
I move. Second.
Okay. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
What?
That schedule.
They don't have Scotty on it.
I know, but we have our meetings the same day.
Oh.
Okay, next item on the final agenda is the fiscal year 2015-2018 TIP amendments. Actually, we, for the MPO board, we're continuing this one until February because Federal Highway wanted us to get more input from the TCC members about some studies that are related to these TIP amendments. So I would entertain a motion that we continue this item until February. February, to the date certain, is February 22nd, your meeting.
Are we continuing it or tabling it until February? I think we're more like tabling it to the February meeting. We're not going to discuss it until then, right?
Right. Well, yeah. Is that the difference between tabling and continuing?
I've never heard of continuing before.
Well, that's what the NPC does, continuing, and that's what we're doing at the NPR board meeting, according
okay.
to. So I'll just keep it as continuing.
I'll make that motion to continue it to the February meeting.
Any seconds?
I second.
Okay, all in favor of continuing the TIP amendment action to February 22nd?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. So then we move on to endorsement of the MPO board authorization to process the Metropolitan Transportation Plan Amendment for I-16 widening. So under the current participation program, our amendments to the Metropolitan Transportation Plan are a two-step process. So this is the first step where we ask for authorization to go ahead and collect additional information. This was requested by the Georgia Department of Transportation just last week. What they want to do is shift some money around. Basically, they want to, there's a project in our plan for Ogeechee Road widening from I-516 to Victory Drive. They want to take the federal money off of that and put it on I-16 widening, and then they want to put state money to make up for what they took off of Ogeechee Road. So that's what we know at this point. This project, this I-16 widening, is in the unfunded vision plan part of our plan. So we'll have more information about this in February. That's about all I have to say about it. The question today before you is whether to advise the MPO board to authorize us to go ahead and collect more information, or if for some reason you think that we should not do this amendment at all, you could not give your endorsement.
So they're moving the federal money off of Ogeechee Road, or Ogeechee, whatever, however y'all say it, to I-16.
Right.
And then they're going to use state money on Ogeechee.
Right. That will help Ogeechee Road's environmental process go a little bit faster if it doesn't have federal funding.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why they were switching it around. What's the difference?
I'm not sure myself, and that's part of what we need to find out. Like, that might be one reason, but I'm not. To me, it looked like kind of a wash.
Uh huh. It does. That's what it sounds like.
As far as like funding sources, the federal funding is the type of funding that the MPO can decide what they want to do with. Normally, our director doesn't usually like to put that pot on interstates, because interstates are not really a local thing. But in this case, maybe it would end up helping the other local project if it speeds that one up. So. Any other questions? You'll see it again in February. So I'll entertain a motion to endorse the MPO board to authorize us to proceed collecting more information.
Sounds good. I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, now we're on status reports. We already did the status on the updated participation plan. Update on the Metropolitan Transportation Plan modification for expanded area. I've been updating you on this one since August also. The Metropolitan Transportation Plan is our long range plan, and it was adopted in August of 2014. And at that time, we were in the process of expanding our planning area into, as we were required to do because of the way the population has changed in the census. So we now had to extend some planning area into a couple of fingers into Effingham County that really just captures some neighborhoods, some residential neighborhoods. It doesn't go very far across the line in Effingham. And then in Bryan County, we now have all of the city of Richmond Hill in our planning area and a little bit of the unincorporated area that's kind of in between the city and in Chatham County. So that took a while to finalize because we had to get a new memorandum of understanding with signed by all these local governments. So that got finalized, that planning area boundary, after our long-range plan was adopted. So now, by a certain date, we have to get our documents up to date to reflect our new area. And so to do that for the long-range plan, we're just doing this addendum that will, it looks at the projects proposed in those areas. It looks at the revenue expected because of those areas over the next 25 years for our plan. And then we compare those and figure out what can get funded in the next 25 years. So we do have some projects, about three projects for Richmond Hill appear that they will make it into the cost feasible portion of the long range plan. Be the Highway 144 widening, which already has some phases that are in progress. The construction is what would be in our plan. And then staff of City of Richmond Hill put on the list widening of Port Royal. No, not Port. Yeah, I think it's called Port Royal Road. And then there's a widening of Timber Trail. No, it's Harris Trail from Timber Trail to Port Royal Road. And then there's a phase of the I-95 Highway 144 interchange that would make it into the cost feasible plan, just preliminary engineering. Right now, that draft document is in a review period with the federal and state agencies, so we might have some comments to address from them this month. We'll have it for public review in January. We'll have a 30-day review period for this addendum to our long-range plan, and so everyone will be notified at that time. And let's see, what else was I going to say? It'll be coming to you for endorsement in February.
Sounds like we're going to be busy in February.
Yeah. So that's all I've got on that one now. Are there any questions about the update of the Metropolitan Transportation Plan for expanded area? Then we'll move on to the Title VI program update. This one was going to be an action item until, because the participation plan is part of the Title VI program documents, since we couldn't ask you to adopt that one this time, we're also postponing your endorsement of the Title VI program documents so that those can be done together in February. Since you saw this, we talked about the Title VI program in October, and as you heard in the minutes, you recommended that we modify our policy statement to take out the word handicap. It already had the word disability in it. That was good enough, best way to describe it. And so we made that change. We also made some changes based on some state and federal comments, if you have any questions about what those were. I can have this list here. So there were some sort of boring type of changes we made to the documents after October, but it's in the public comment period until Wednesday, just like the participation plan is. And so this one will be on your agenda in February. Do you have any questions?
So that's the whole thing in front of you?
No, these are just our documentation of the state's comments and what we did as a result.
Do you get a lot of comments on the when you send it out for comments like that?
We don't get too many comments from the public comment period,
right.
But there's someone at the state level that loves to comment on everything.
So I get these messages, and I'm wondering how many people ever sign, make comments.
Yeah, I mean,
most of it's Greek to me, so I don't.
Well, people are more motivated to comment when you're talking about a particular project, especially a particular project that's going to happen soon.
Right.
It's hard to get anybody to comment about our processes, and we know it.
Long-range plans.
You can go on.
Okay.
I'm just kind of just looking at it, yeah.
Next, we have agency reports. So, Telluride and then Kat. Do you want to give both of those, Marlena?
Yeah, I can give both of those. I don't have much today. I can tell you that as far as fixed route goes, you know, we have a total of 67 vehicles. Currently, 21 are out of order for fixed route. Paratransit has a total of 29. Currently, 10 are out of order.
Could you speak louder, please, Marlena? I'm sorry, I lost my hearing.
Okay. Fixed route currently has a total of 67 vehicles. Currently, there's 21 out of order. Paratransit has 29, and currently 10 are out of order. We, as far as paratransit, we're currently going through the month of December for those individuals who signed up for paratransit services in 2012. It is now time for them to recertify. So we are contacting them via phone and mail with letters letting them know that it's time to recertify their application. There is a public meeting being held on Wednesday, December the 9th, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. here at the Joe Murray Transit Center.
Is that about recertification or just about anything?
No, that's just our monthly public meeting that we have every second Wednesday of the month. That's all that I have for today.
There's James McPlan. Okay. So we're all
good. Okay, at one point
the bribe money went to is for the maintenance of the vehicles. No comment. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, one comment I'll make, it seems like I got on my mind. I forgot to make it at the meeting last month. We're at the Joe Murray Rivers Transit Center meeting. But I've seen I got on my mind, I'll make it now. And that's Ms. Molina comment on it. Sometimes when we contact, let's say, for example, if you're finished doing what you're doing at school or at a medical facility or whatever, sometimes you may finish up a little earlier than you expected to. And when you notify the dispatchers, generally speaking, I mean, you get a little bit of a cold shoulder in a sense. Sometimes they say, well, what time is your pickup? And I say, well, I'm ready about a half hour early, but if the driver's in the neighborhood, can that driver pick me up a little bit earlier than I originally said? And it sort of give you the hint that, well, you just wait, but because that's the way it's set up, and there's no, you know, I don't see why I really need to know about it. Driver just calls you a little early. But as I understand, you know, all we're asking is that when you're ready, you know, when we're ready, rather it's a little early, we let the dispatcher know, they notify the driver. If the driver can get to us earlier, good. If so, if not, it's okay, we understand. But, you know, I wonder why sometimes they don't want to notify the drivers that we're ready, maybe just a little bit ahead of time, because sometimes the driver's in the area, and that has happened to some of us. So I was kind of like, you can make a note of that, you know, let's ask them, is to notify the drivers that when we're ready, and that they can come earlier, all well and good. If not, we understand.
That's happened to me also, Marlena. I've called, I was like an hour early, and they just said, we'll let your driver know. And when the driver arrived an hour later, the driver was like, we were never notified by the
right,
office.
That's what it says.
The drivers are not getting the information.
Right.
It's just, there's no sense in us calling in and saying, if it's possible, could you pick us up early, because it's ignored.
I must have got lucky, Marlena, because I called, because I was an hour and a half earlier, And it wasn't 5 minutes later, I had a driver picking me up. So it was, so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, you've got some inconsistency in there, right? But that is supposed to be in their process. But at least it's supposed to at least let them know. And if they can't come, well, so be it, but.
Okay. To answer your question, Mr. Palmer, when you call the call center, the call center interns speaks with the supervisor in the control center.
Right, yeah, I know.
And then the control center reaches out to the driver via their radio.
Right.
If that particular driver does not have a radio, it's by chance that driver was not notified that you called.
Okay.
If that driver's radio isn't working, or they may have stepped out of their vehicle and did not hear that the control center was trying to reach them to inform them, then the driver would not know. In turn, that would be the response that Ms. Haggerty would receive, stating that the driver did not, you know, was not told, or I didn't know, no one told me. The drivers are instructed that if they, you know, would like to call and check on their clients to see if someone called and said they were ready early, you will have some drivers that would do that, but it's not required. When you call and let us know that you're ready early and someone from the call center, one of the ambassadors, you know, tell you that they will inform the driver, they're telling you the truth, that they're going to contact control, let them know that you are ready early, and then the control center supervisor will make an attempt to try to contact that driver. But if that driver doesn't have a radio or happens to be in a vehicle that doesn't have a radio that's currently working, then sometimes it is kind of hard to, you know, give that communication that you would like to happen. We just ask that you continue to bear with us as we go through the process of trying to make sure that we obtain radios for each and every driver. We're currently in the process of still trying to get new equipment inside of all of our vehicles so that messages can be sent to their tablets to inform them of different messages that we get from our clients so that we can open up some more credible means of communication.
Why do the drivers not have communication?
Yeah,
they're telling us we have to use our personal cell phones to communicate. That's not right.
As I just stated, we are currently working on getting the correct communication so that each driver will be able to properly communicate in a more professional and proper manner without having to use their cell phone.
But you told us that in the middle of the summer. Here it is 6 months later, and there's still no improvement.
As I stated, we are currently working on finding more professional ways so that the drivers can get that communication.
Do we have an estimate?
All right, let me go one step farther. I had Telluride take me to Mercy Boulevard for a doctor's appointment. 2 hours later, Kat called and said, "Does Miss Haggerty need a ride home?" How did they expect me to get home? I had made arrangements for a transportation ride home, and the vehicle did show up 20 minutes later. I mean, there's no communication. There's a major communication problem.
Is there any estimate, Marlene, on when the communication systems will be in place?
No, sir, not at that time, but I will be working on that, and if you would like, I can always update life or update anyone here in this meeting today on that ETA.
I can say, you know, we worked on that telephone situation for almost 3 to 4 years, so I hope it don't take that long.
This is an ongoing problem that is getting nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's put on the back burner every month.
Okay. That was a report for both Fixed Route and Telluride, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we're now on other business. I don't have any other business. Does anyone else? We have a public participation opportunity next. Any comments? We'll move on to announcements. The next CORE MPO ACAP meeting is February 22nd, 2016 at 1 p.m. Based on the schedule you just approved. Any other announcements?
Okay, I can give you one. I will mention the National Federation of Bound and Channel County. We will hold our annual Christmas banquet on Saturday, December 19th at Kerry Hilliard's, located at 11111 Abercorn Extension, beginning at 7 p.m. And the price of the tickets are $25. So if anybody would like to attend our annual Christmas banquet this year, it will be Saturday, December 19th, 7 p.m. at Kerry Hilliard's, and the price is $25. $25 per ticket. I saw him back Saturday. He's still with us, but he's not quite, he doesn't quite have the physicality that he once had. He's still with us, though. I still stay in touch with him.
Okay.
One other issue, this came to my mind, too. Tom sort of brought it to my mind here. I know we contacted these various agencies concerning, whether they're going to continue to participate in the ACAP meetings. One, of course, comes to my mind right quickly is the Savannah Center for the Blind and Low Vision. They haven't had a representative here since Terry White left, and that was some time ago. She was the social worker over there. So I'm wondering, have you heard from any of these agencies? Did we ever send out those letters? And if so, did we get any responses?
No, we haven't contacted them. What we did do is we did remove the people that had requested to be removed from this meeting membership, and that was Georgia Legal Services and United Way of Coastal Empire. A lot of the agencies they fund are already members on the committee, but other than that, we have not checked on who still wants to be on the committee. But we have the committee bylaws adopted back in the summer. So I guess we could make sure that we have the right people on our contact list. Sometimes the directors change at these places and we don't find out right away. So then the people aren't getting the message, the right person's not getting the message about the meeting. So we could check. I am updating our database as a result of our committee restructuring back in the summer to make sure that we've got the right people in the database. So that might help.
Who do you have for the Savannah Council of the Blind?
Well, I can't.
It's supposed to be David Newman now.
Okay, I think you told me that in October,
yeah.
But we had Kim Harrison.
Right.
So, all right. Newman?
Newman, yeah.
N-E-W-E.
But I know he won't be able to come to the meetings until February because of school.
So what's his position with?
He's just a member of the Savannah Council of the Blind.
And they decided that he should be the rep on our committee?
Yep.
Okay, that's great. Make a note.
I can even send you his email address.
That would be good.
I don't get any emails from anybody.
All right, well maybe
you
we
send them out? I don't get them.
I think we probably that's another, since I think it was October, I learned that you were now officially 30.
Okay.
So I'm
just letting you know.
Thanks. I'll make a note of that too.
Do you need my email address?
Yes.
No. It's kustrudlife.com.
Bob, if you could send me David's. Keeping that database up to date is a lot of work. We've got five committees. Okay. There's no other.
I make the motion we adjourn the meeting.
There's no other information for reference, so we are at adjournment. And seeing no other business before the committee, I will adjourn.
Yeah,
he's okay. He told me last week he was having some outpatient surgery on Friday. He thought he'd be back, but he said he's still having some little issue with his incision.
Oh, okay. I know I had been emailing you.
Okay, Miss Malina, I think, she may not be out there yet, but you can.
I'll check for you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sorry, I had to put you on the hot seat a little bit, but.
It's okay. I can handle it.
Marlena always wears that bulletproof vest in here.
I can handle it.
Yeah, what happened, I got the same job. I got Yolanda this time, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I will definitely check on that for you.
Okay.
Ms. Hegarty, would you like me to check your ride as well?
Yes, please.
Okay.
There is a little bit of confusion in there when you call in to change schedules nowadays.
Mm-hmm.